And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cormery. The Juneau Assembly has approved a city budget based on the lowest property tax rate in decades. But as KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, some members worried about dipping into savings.
Juneau's mill rate, which is what the city's property tax rate is based on, is the lowest it's been since at least the late 1990s. But because property values have gone up, some residents will still pay more tax than last year. At an assembly meeting on Monday, Auk Bay resident Tom Williams asked the assembly to consider an even lower rate.
When the city has so much in reserves and will probably add to reserves, just doesn't do well for families that are struggling with already large increases in their cost of living.
But assembly members said the rate of 10.16 was as low as it could be this year. The budget draws $2 million from reserves for recurring costs. Assemblymember Alicia Hughes-Gandies expressed some hesitation about that, saying they need to pay for what they add to the budget.
I don't think you can have both, where we add to our ongoing costs and we also look for the lowest mill rate. Those two things, just the math doesn't add up.
Member Carol Treem agreed.
Responsible fiscal policy would say we should not be deficit spending at the moment, and I disagree with the overall combination of choices that we've made, but I know I'm in the minority.
Member Michelle Hale, who proposed the 10.16 mill rate last month, said the city regularly gets more sales tax than anticipated.
Because assessed values went up so high, I think that also is good fiscal stewardship to not continue to just endlessly tax our people and then have that extra money at the end of the year.
Deputy Mayor Maria Gladyshevsky said the budget was made possible by past assemblies and city managers who saved money. The city does have money in reserves.
We passed a balanced budget. We lowered the mill rate as much as we could to provide the services that people asked for.
The largest portion of general government funds goes to the school district, followed by the police, then fire and emergency medical services. The budget includes $10 million toward a new city hall. The assembly is expected to vote on whether to put a $27 million bond proposal for the project on the October ballot next month. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
Tribes across the nation and all across Alaska are celebrating the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to uphold the Indian Child Welfare Act. In a 7-2 vote, the court rejected claims that ICWA is racist and unconstitutional. KNBA's Rhonda McBride talked with Alaska Native leaders to get their reaction.
There was a collective sigh of relief when the highest court in the land backed the tribes and their right to oversee adoptions involving American Indian and Alaska Native children.
This is something we care deeply about.
Julie Kitka, who is president of the Alaska Federation of Natives, says AFN has been involved in this fight for years because a lot more was at stake beyond protecting children.
A lot of threads of federal Indian law, the authority for the Congress to deal with Alaska Natives, Native Americans, derives from that.
Kitka said had efforts to overturn ICWA succeeded, tribal sovereignty would have seen widespread erosion.
Today's decision represents a huge win for tribes throughout the nation and reaffirms tribal sovereignty.
Brian Ridley heads up the Tanana Chiefs Conference in Interior Alaska. He says tribes have worked for years to improve programs to support tribal adoptions, key to protecting children, families, and tribes, along with their culture and traditions.
All the years of work that we've done to get to this point in trying to protect our Native kids and keep them with our Native families.
The Association of Village Council Presidents, which represents tribes in Southwest Alaska, concurred and said in a statement that ICWA has been the gold standard of child welfare. But during a U.S. Supreme Court hearing last year, Matthew McGill, the attorney representing a white family fighting to adopt a Native child, argued that ICWA had discriminated against them and put the interests of the tribe over the needs of the child.
That means each year, hundreds, if not thousands, of Indian children are placed in non-Indian foster homes. And sometimes there they bond with those families.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote the majority opinion, which leaves the law intact. She cited more than a century of precedent and the plaintiff's lack of standing on the issues. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote in his dissenting opinion that the court had allowed the federal government to overstep its powers by displacing state authority to regulate child custody proceedings. The state of Alaska did choose not to fight on behalf of ICWA. Attorney General Greg Taylor said it was a difficult decision not to join, but says the state believed other entities would give the court all the information it needed to make its decision. In a statement, Taylor says it does not appear that anything has changed, and the decision underscores our commitment to partnering with tribes to improve outcomes for tribal children and families. Richard Peterson, president of Tlingit and Haida, the largest tribal group in Alaska, says he's still disappointed that the state did not join more than 500 tribes to fight for ICWA.
I applaud that statement. I agree with that statement, but their actions don't really back that up. If they did, if that's how they felt, they would have signed on and supported tribes in this ICWA battle.
Still, Peterson says the tribes prevailed.
And our sovereignty continues on and on again in these court cases to be reaffirmed in court. And it's always scary when you go to court, but we keep winning because we're on the right side. And so I'm just full of excitement and love. This couldn't have happened on a better day.
Peterson says the court decision comes as Polynesian canoers depart Juneau on a global voyage to spread the word about the power and beauty of Indigenous peoples. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Staff from the Ketchumek Bay Family Planning Clinic in Homer traveled to Saldotna earlier this month for the city's Pride Festival, an event celebrating the LGBTQ plus community during Pride Month. When they returned to Homer from the event, they found the rainbow pride flags in front of their main building and the adjacent youth center had been vandalized. But now, almost 2 weeks later, police say they still don't have any leads on a suspect. Sabine Pooks reports for KBBI.
The vandalism is the latest in a series of threatening incidents at the center, according to CEO Claudia Haynes.
It really reflects poorly on, you know, a community that prides ourselves on being very welcoming and inclusive.
The Ketchumek Bay Family Planning Clinic is a reproductive and sexual health care clinic on Ben Walters Lane. The clinic also operates the Rec Room, an after-school space for youth ages 12 to 18. Haynes says the rainbow pride flags in front of the clinic and rec room are meant to signal that the buildings are safe spaces.
And these flags really represent, you know, kind of a light in the window and say that, you know, members of the LGBTQI plus community belong at our clinic and after school programs. And that becomes really important when you're in such a volatile political and cultural climate.
She says her staff found the flag in front of the rec room slashed and shredded last week, while the one in front of the clinic was cut from the flagpole, which itself had been broken. Haynes says the clinic reported the incident to local police. Homer Police Officer Kellen Stock says he reviewed the security footage and observed two cars approaching the clinic on multiple nights over the weekend of the incident. According to a police report, footage shows a Prius driving up to the center around 9:30 p.m. on June 3rd, and an individual getting out and damaging the flags. The next night, around 12:30 a.m., a Jeep drove up to the center and the same thing occurred, the report says. Stock says the person in the video was covering their face and head and says there wasn't enough information for the person or their vehicles to be identified. As a result, the report says the case is closed by investigation. Haynes says it's the first time she's seen vandalism in her tenure at the clinic, but she says the rec room and rec room users were verbally threatened on two separate occasions earlier this year. Following those incidents, she says the clinic put in its video surveillance system and added in additional security steps to its protocol.
These kind of incidents that really target members of the LGBTQI plus community are happening in Homer, happening throughout the state, and of course happening nationally. And so, it's just a reflection of kind of the political and cultural climate that we're in. And unfortunately, you know, when we have incidents like this in Homer, it becomes really personal, whether you're a member of the LGBTQI plus community or whether you're an ally.
Since last week, the center has put up new pride flags at the clinic and rec room. In Homer, I'm Sabine Pooks.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 49 degrees and a bit rainy. Tonight, more rain is on the way, as it is on Friday. Saturday, there is a chance of rain that diminishes throughout the day. Sunday and Monday, expect temperatures around 70 degrees and sunshine. You're listening to KTOO. It's just about 5 o'clock.